All right, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 101. And of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all. We back in the house once again. Back with another episode, y'all. And I am back. I am back to 100% now. As y'all know, the past couple of weeks or a week and a half ago, I came up hot, tested positive with the C19. Of course, it wasn't my fault. You know, I followed all the precautions, you know, for the past 2 years, did well when the, you know, did well when the pandemic was thriving. You know what I mean? Did well when the whole world was hot. I was good to go. But lo and behold, somebody just had to start coming to work, exposing everybody that had tested positive and still showed up to work and exposed me and several other people to it. So, you know, it just blindsided me. I didn't know that person had it at the time. So, you know, I was around them and then boom, it got me. It got me, you know. First couple of days, you know, I felt a little under the weather. You know, I was still good. I was still feeling fine. You know, I just felt like, you know, a cold was coming on because, you know, the weather started changing, you know. So I just kind of took it a stride. But then I found out one person had tested hot. So I said, oh, snap, I've been around that person. And that's probably what I'm feeling now. Right. So I tested and boom, I came up positive. And, you know, I was not really feeling too bad. You know, I thought I came out of it pretty well, you know, compared to what most people have dealt with. You know, I think the most I had was just like a fever for like a day and a half. You know, even throughout the fever, I was fine. Like I was never like dizzy or hallucinating or anything. I had some cold symptoms, but I could still function if I wanted to. Like if I had to step out, I could do it. You know, I could still move and still get up and do whatever. Like a couple of days before, when I really tested positive, I actually ran the day before that. You know, I ran a race, you know, then the day after that, I, you know, did a, you know, regular workout. And that's where I started to really kind of feel under the weather. Right. And then after that, the next couple of days, you know, I was OK. Then all of a sudden the fever hit me and I was just like, oh, boy, this is it. You know, this is it. So, you know, I just stayed home the rest of the day, stayed away from everybody. And, you know, just stayed home watching fights. As y'all know, this goes all the way back to that Invicta card. You know, I was just locked in, sweating, watching this fight, you know, drinking a bunch of Gatorade, just trying to, you know, stay strong, you know. So I can't complain as far as what I dealt with, though. You know, I have to thank God that, you know, I came out of it fine compared to most people. I still wouldn't, you know, want it. You know, again, I wouldn't want to deal with that or go through it again. You know, I wouldn't want to wish it on anybody because the 19, it affects people in different ways, you know, in different ways, especially, you know, like from what I've heard from people in the medical field, it affects women in different ways, you know, people of different ages, you know. So we just don't know, like, just don't know how it's going to react to you. You know, like I said, I came out fine, you know, been doing well now, you know, 100% this week. So, yeah, you know, I'm good and thankful that I am because it's a big fight week coming up. You know, this is a big fight weekend coming up. A lot of cards, you know, most of y'all are MMA fans, but, you know, I got a lot of boxing to watch. Got like 4 or 5 boxing cards plus the UFC card. So, you know, I'm going to have tabs open up, phones, devices, playing all of this all at once, trying to watch it. Or, you know, I might try to, I ain't going to get too greedy because there's some things I got to focus on, like the UFC card and like the Shields Marshall fight. I really want to see that fight the most and the Arujo Grasso fight. I ain't going to lie. I want to see the Wilder fight, but these two fights here, they really got me because they really are 50-50. You know what I mean? Shields Marshall, Grasso Arujo are big to me. They are, you know, they're 50-50 fights that I really just need to see because I need questions answered. I need questions answered. So I'm really going to be tuned into these cards, man. So, yeah, it's going down this weekend, y'all. I'm going to try to do some fight companions. I'm going to be out of state, you know, while I'm trying to watch this stuff. So if I'm in the hotel room, you know, maybe I can, you know, hook it up and, you know, we can watch it. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, man, this episode here, just a few things I want to talk about. This ain't going to be like a real long episode. You know, some of this stuff is pertaining to fight week. And some of it just kind of came up in my mind because of, you know, some of the fights coming up. But yeah, the first topic I want to discuss is the strawweight division. You know, the lower half, you know, the unranked fighters, because I just want to talk about the next generation of 115. Like, what's it looking like? You know, we got a few fights coming up. And, you know, I want to know if some of these fighters are ready to take on that task of, you know, jumping into the top 15 or just evolving as a fighter, you know, as, you know, strawweights, you know. So next generation of strawweights is something I want to discuss with 3 fights that I'm looking forward to. More questions we need answered in this big fight coming up. Like I said, Arujo versus Grasso. Let's talk about it. Am I going to get my pick yet? We'll see. We'll see. All right. And the next thing I want to talk about, you know, I know we're beating a dead horse here, but let's talk about it. 135, what it needs to me right now is a facelift. And no, I'm not talking about the women's age in the group. So, you know, don't take it that way. I'm just saying that 135 needs some youth to it. All right. It needs some reconstruction to it. Big time. Right now. ASAP. Right. And another division I want to talk about, of course, is the featherweight division. This division, unfortunately, just can't be dealt with a facelift. This one needs a whole new body. All right. Featherweight needs a whole bunch of bodies. So we're going to talk about that again, because we got to talk about this stuff, because the more we talk about it, the more it comes to life sometimes, right? Sometimes it, you know, they listen. That's how I feel. Sometimes I think they listen. So I'm going to talk about it. And last topic, Shields versus Marshall. Let's talk about the card a little bit, because, you know, this fight card is something that, you know, got everybody anxious. You know, it got pushed back because of the death of the queen last month. You know, everybody's been waiting. I know, I'm sure the fighters have been filled with anxiety. We all have been. So it's here. So, you know, let's go ahead and talk about it a little bit, right? Maybe I'll even give you my pick in this episode. We'll see. But, yeah, man, like I said, 100%, I'm good now. I'm feeling great. So let's get into it. First topic, let's talk about the strawweight division. The next generation of strawweights on the come up. You know, we got quite a few. You know, a lot of fighters they signed from LFA. You know, some fighters from the Contender Series. You know, just some fighters coming in, you know, from other organizations as well as Invicta FC. You know, you got a lot of these young fighters coming up now and that are getting signed. And some of these fighters, you know, are making some statements. Some are still in question. But, you know, the one big question I have is, you know, who in this next crop of strawweights going to come up is ready to, you know, fill those shoes of, you know, like the fighters like Michelle Waterson or Tisha Torres and Rose Namajunas, you know, fighters like that. Like, who's next to step in and be like, you know, in the positions where Angela Hill and Randall Marcos used to be, you know what I mean? Like, just in the lower half of the division, you know, who's evolved enough? Well, we got a couple of fights. Got about three fights coming up, you know, that I think are going to answer some of those questions. You know, this weekend we got Sam Hughes versus Pierre Rodriguez. You know, not everybody's a big fan of Sam Hughes. You know, I am. You know, I enjoy her fights. You know, I've been watching her since LFA and before that. And, you know, I know she didn't have the most impressive or like explosive start in the UFC, but I still believe in her as a fighter. You know, I respect her, her grind. And, you know, I know what she's capable of. Like I said, sometimes I'm just watching these fighters, you know, that type of stuff is really in a fighter sometimes. And as soon as she got with the right people, you know, you just started seeing the best come out of her, you know, even more confident. So I think that, you know, Sam Hughes is a fighter that, you know, has a lot to offer. And she'll show it Saturday night against Pierre Rodriguez. But Pierre Rodriguez, she has a lot to offer, you know. Not the most crowd-pleasing style either, but she's a young, undefeated fighter. Won the Contender Series in a very close fight, in my opinion. Since then, she beat Kay Hansen. And, you know, she's a rough and rugged fighter. You know, I've seen a few of her fights in LFA as well. And, you know, before that. And, you know, she's a fighter that brings grit, you know, brings that grappling, brings some strength, character. So, you know, I think both of these fighters, they have something about them that could eventually take them there. But it's all going to come down Saturday night. And see, you know, we got to see what they can do. Sam Hughes, you know, she's probably been one of the more active fighters out of these strawweights in the picture. You know, she's been taking fights, you know, learning on the job. You know, I could really say like her first fight was probably the one fight that was legit. And that was like a legit loss. And that was because it was Tisha Torres. You know, that was a lot of experience. Short notice, it was like a 6-day notice fight against somebody that's been around in the UFC forever. And on top of that, I respect why she quit, because, you know, you only get two eyes. You lose one and you can't fight anymore, right? So I respect her choice to stop that night. And then moving on, when she fought Loma Labutni, she got a kind of a late start in that fight. She definitely showed signs of a fighter that can control the distance, that can wrestle, got a good jab, got good straight strikes in there, you know, just kind of started late in the fight, you know. Luana Pinheiro, I thought she won that fight. You can disagree with me, but I thought she did enough to win that fight. Since then, she's racked up two wins against Estela Nunes and finished Elise Reed. So you can see some growth in her. You know, she's kind of got that growth like some of the strawweights back in the day used to have. You know, you take a loss here and there. Even like Rose, you know, Rose lost to Tisha Torres before and lost to Karolina Kowalkiewicz. But somewhere along the lines, you know, she started getting better as a fighter, you know. So I think Sam Hughes kind of has that on the job training where she can kind of work on what's going, work on what she needs to throughout these fights. But at the same time, you know, she has the IQ to adjust in a fight. And she's going to need that against Pierre Rodriguez. You know, Pierre Rodriguez got the confidence right now, the strength, the bullying tactics. So it's on Sam to use her IQ in this fight because this girl right here is going to bring the grit. So Sam has got to be on it with her wrestling to neutralize the grappling. She's got to use her length in this fight. You know, use those straight strikes to her advantage and just keep the jab in the face of Pierre Rodriguez. You know, Pierre Rodriguez, she could go in there and make this a rough one. So you got to be prepared for that. So, I think we're going to be in for a good fight. I'm picking Sam Hughes in this one. You know, I'm picking her in this one because I think she has more experience and I think she has more technique and you know, better skill set. But it's going to be a rough fight. I don't see anybody getting finished in this one. You know, maybe she could get her out of there. But, you know, I could see Sam taking this one by decision, you know, just using her stand up and, like I said, the better skill set. And I think this fight's going to, you know, answer some questions. It's definitely going to move her forward in the crowd's eye. You know, they're going to see the improvements in her, and she'll see the improvements in herself, you know, to say, hey, you know, more I work on this, I could take this to the next level, right? So Sam has that ability. I think she has that ability to crack top 15 sometime maybe by the end of 2023, or if she just stays active sometime in 2023. She has the IQ, I think, to do it, the skill set. Pierre Rodriguez, you know, we'll see, because she's only had really one legit fight against Kay Hansen. Kay Hansen, you know, kind of gave her some trouble, I think, in some of the stand-up exchanges. So we still need to see a little bit more from Pierre Rodriguez to say if she's ready, right? December 3rd is another good fight. We got Yasmin Arigi versus Estela Nunes. Now, this fight here is not necessarily one that's going to put Yasmin Arigi in that realm of sharks. It's just another fight that's going to open everybody's eyes and give her more fans, because this is going to be a good stand-up fight. You know, they're giving her another fighter that has a stand-up game that's not really going to go for takedown. Somebody that's going to, you know, really show the stand-up. It's going to be kind of, I keep thinking of this fight like a low-level Joanna versus Jessica Penne, because, you know, Yasmin Arigi has that type of killer instinct and that type of high volume. And she just likes to go after you. You know, she has that finish factor where she just lets her hands go and those head kicks go. And I could see her really putting a lot of pressure on Estela Nunes. Then you see Estela Nunes having maybe one good round, because that's kind of how she fights. You know, maybe popping Yasmin Arigi a couple of times in the first round. But eventually Yasmin Arigi's going to come on stronger and, you know, just kind of wake up the crowd and put on a performance of the night. You know, so I think this is a fight that's going to kind of, you know, just help her shine a little bit more, because, you know, Estela Nunes is 0-2 right now, and I don't know if she has the gas tank and the strength to really deal with a fighter like Yasmin Arigi, you know. So I could see Yasmin Arigi winning this one and eventually moving on, you know, to maybe a couple of more unranked fights. But she's got the skills, though. She's got the skills. Maybe in another year or two, maybe by 2023, you'll see her in the top 15. I can count on that, because if Luana Pinheiro can get in there, if she can crap top 15, I know that she can. Yasmin Arigi's got the style, you know, and I think the UFC's going to be wanting that too, because, you know, she's got a country behind her, has a good following, you know, has a good look about her. You know, she's definitely like a model type, you know, on her IG. You know, she definitely does like little photo shoots and stuff like that. So, you know, she has the look, the crowd-pleasing style, good skill sets all around, the finishing factor. You know, she came from Combate, winning that tournament over there. So, you know, she's definitely a little killer too. You know, she's kind of, you know, not like the Bullet type of style, even though she has trained with the Bullet. You know, don't forget, yeah, Yasmin Rigi's trained with the Bullet. They kind of have that same classy assassin style about them. You know, different styles, but, you know, they both look good. They both clean up nicely. You know, they classy. You know, they're very classy when they pose, you know, in their modeling pictures. But when they get in the octagon, you know, they're trying to kill you. You know what I mean? So Yasmin Rigi is kind of like Valentina in that light. So we'll see if she can get to that level, though, you know, get that belt. I think she's got that style, though. I think the more and more she works on it, don't be surprised if you see her in there next year, you know, cracking heads, though. So I think this Estela Nunes fight is one she can win, and it's going to put her, you know, on a lot of people's fan favorite list for sure. December 17th. This fight actually got moved back, too, because this let me see. Yeah, this fight was originally on the 3rd, but it got pushed back to the 17th. Cheyenne Velasquez versus Corey McKenna. Okay. Cheyenne Velasquez, I like her style. You know, I like a lot of things about her out of the cage as well. You know, she's, you know, got a look about her. You know, she talks trash. She talks trash in the cage as well. You know, I love a good stand-up fighter. You know, she's a good kickboxer. She can move. She's got good hands, good angles, you know. Just all around quick style about her that's, you know, crowd-pleasing. Then you got Corey McKenna, who's coming off a loss to Elise Reed. You know, she's still young, very young. I think, what, she like 19 or 20 right now? You know, she's already kind of showing budding signs of being a well-rounded fighter. You know, she has stand-up game and a grapple game, and she's physically strong. You know, so I think this is going to be a good fight here. I think it's 50-50, really, because even though Cheyenne Velasquez doesn't have the same level of grappling to me as Corey McKenna, she's more committed to her stand-up, and that's kind of the kryptonite of Corey McKenna, if you will. You know, like her angles and volume. Corey McKenna had trouble with Elise Reed in that fight. That's why I had to pick Elise Reed, because I was like, you know what, sometimes Corey McKenna kind of comes up a little short on her IQ, you know, and that's not her fault. She's still young and she's still willing to learn, but as she gets older, you know, she'll learn how to make adjustments on the fly. You know, so I just kind of think this one's a 50-50 fight here. And, you know, Corey McKenna, she's going to really have to go after it and take this fight in the trenches, you know, because Velasquez, when she gets going on her feet, she's pretty sharp. As far as, like, who's going to butt out of this and, you know, make it to the top 15, still, I'm not sure who, because, you know, Corey McKenna, like I said, still has to work on her IQ. Cheyenne Velasquez still needs to work on her wrestling a little bit. I still keep getting visions of her getting tossed up like a salad against Montserrat Ruiz, you know. But I think that Velasquez definitely has it down the line to, you know, kind of market herself. So these fighters, they really need to start working on being well-rounded, you know. They really need to start working on it and going after it, you know. So they can make their way into the top 15 and start taking over, start weeding some of the older fighters out. Because that's how you got to do it. Flyweight's been kind of more like, it's been more like that, even though 115 is drenched with talent. Like, you've been getting a lot of dominant fighters come through, like Blanchfield, Manon, and Tyler. You know, I still can't really put together a triple threat here at 115 just because a lot of the fights and styles have been not one-sided, but 50-50, you know? So I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for real. But out of this crop here, I think eventually, you know, in like the next year or so, you'll see Yasmin Origi, Sam Hughes, you'll see fighters like them in the top 15, and Velasquez, Corey McKenna, they'll be taking over, you know, eventually. But when it starts getting into the Lemos and Rodriguez territory, that's where, you know, they're going to have to be ready. You know, that's where they have got to be ready, because those girls like that, they are not playing. They're not playing, you know. Don't forget, throw the Andrade in there. Andrade is still in that division, you know. So these girls on the come up, they got to start showing something different. They got to be different, right? But I think eventually some of them will get to a high level. You know, hopefully Andrade won't be around for them too longer, because, you know, anytime you put Andrade with anybody in here, I'm sorry, Andrade is just the one, right? But this next generation, yeah. They still got a lot of work to do, I think. You know, we just got to see more fighters get well-rounded, show more confidence, and that dominant factor. Discipline, dominance, and defense, right? Still got to show all of that stuff, you know. But I think Sam has a high IQ that's going to get her there. She's kind of a workman type fighter. Yasmin Rigi, she just, you know, got a very killer instinct style that just says, no, I'm not going anywhere. You know, that add that to her working with Valentina, and, you know, you got a fighter that might potentially crack the top five one day, right? So, yeah, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. Like, who's on y'all radar, you know, from the lower half of 115? I mean, these are some of the fights I'm looking forward to. Demopolis versus Oliveira. That fight is out there. Still a lot of questions about Tabitha Ricci, you know. Don't forget, you got Bruna Brazil. She scored a big head kick knockout in the contender series. So, you know, we'll see how she looks when they match her up with somebody, right? So, yeah, let me know in the comment section what y'all think about the next generation of 115. How's it looking for y'all? Like, final thoughts, I'll say this. I think it's looking okay. I think it is. I think it is looking okay because all these girls right now, they kind of match up. But along the way, somebody's going to develop. Because even like at the time when Rose was, you know, getting dominated by Carla and losing to like Tisha Torres, somewhere along the way, she found something and she was able to become a two-time champion. You know, knock Ioana out, beat her twice, knock Weili out, beat some of these other fighters on the come up. You know, somewhere along the line, she beat some of these fighters and then just was able to skyrocket to, you know, to the title, right? So eventually somebody in this crop can do that. It's just when they start getting the right guidance and the right training and they link up with the right people and that brings the best out of them, right? So eventually somebody will stand out like that. It just doesn't look like that way because we got so used to Ioana, Jessica Andrade, Weili, but somebody will stand out. Somebody will probably. Yeah, I think they will. All right. So more questions that need to be answered. Viviana Rujo versus Alexa Grasso. First off, I got to say, look, I love this fight. I love this fight here. You know, for one, it's 50-50. That's not changing. It's 50-50 to me. I mean, I like both of them. Even if I was a fan of one, I still can't lie, you know, because I said the same thing about Chikage and Manon. I think that fight is 50-50, maybe a little bit leaning towards Manon, but still 50-50. This one here, I think it's just all around 50-50 because there's still some questions that need to be answered with both of these fighters. You know, Arujo, Grasso, you know, they're amongst the sharks in the flyweight division, but there's still some things that we need to see from both fighters. You know, that's what makes it just interesting, this fight here, because like I said, I can't pick a winner. You know, every time I try to think of it, me being a hardcore fan, I get anxious. You know, I just get this anxiety about me. Like, I got to pick because something in me just saying that, you know, the winner here, you know, I'm arguing myself saying, no, I don't. I really don't, because these two fighters are that matched up. They're that well matched up. You know, they don't have the same skill sets, but everything they have about themselves, everything that they have and everything that they don't have and that what they lack just kind of balances them out, right? And that's what makes this such a good fight. Like, you can't pick. And, you know, that's how it is with movies sometimes. Like, when a movie is not predictable, like when it's not just like ABC, you know, whenever you can't predict the ending and you know it's going to pay off, that's usually like one of the best movies. And I think this fight here is going to turn out to be one of the best fights because, you know, it's hard to pick because both of these fighters, they have crowd pleasing styles, but there's some things about them where they lack that just kind of leave them open for mistakes. And that's where it's going to get interesting. You know, that's where it's going to get interesting. You know, whenever somebody in here sticks their chin out or somebody doesn't go after the kill, you know, that's when it's going to get dramatic, you know? So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, though, good fight, good flyweight top 10 fight, but I personally don't really see it as like a title eliminator. It's a 5-round fight. It's a main event. But I'm just kind of going and enjoying this fight because, you know, I think these two are high level fighters that, you know, their styles match well. you know, it's going to be entertaining and it's going to answer questions, like I said, but it's not really going to tell us who's next to challenge Valentina Shevchenko. It's just going to tell us who's next to take on a gatekeeper. Really, it is, you know. And I say that because Vivian Araújo, she's been amongst these heavy hitters for a while now, you know, even longer than Grasso. You know, she's been around some of the best, most experienced veterans. You know, she's came up short. She's looked good in some fights, but she still has never really like stood out amongst these fighters. Whereas like, you know, Manon and Tyler, they all like just dominated. You know what I mean? Like everybody they fought, they just dominated. And you might say it came down to the competition, but whenever Manon went in against her last four opponents, you know, she just ran through them for the most part. Same with Tyler Santos, minus the Romero-Barella fight, right? They just showed something about them where they were dominant. You know, Araújo, she had an interesting style. She has an interesting style, but there's just been some little kinks in her armor that some of these fighters that she's fought, they were just able to expose them, you know? And it could have just come down to, you know, her fighting a lot of veterans. You know, she's been in there with Alexis Davis, Roxanne, Jessica Ai, Andrea Lee, Caitlin Chookagian. That's a good resume. Win or lose, you know, those are good fighters on her resume, you know? So she's been in there with some top-level fighters, you know? So I can say that Vivian Araújo definitely has the experience going into this fight with Grasso. But she also has those... She also has just those little things that she lacks, like the cardio. You know, the cardio is still a little bit questionable. You know, the chin is out there. You know, she can still get hit. She's fast, but she still gets hit, you know, which never really made sense to me. Like, she needs to work more on her head movement because she can still go in there and put her head on the line and take some of the biggest shots from some of these fighters out there, you know. So I need to see a lot of that stuff cleaned up in this fight. You know, she's got to be able to fight five rounds. You know, she's got to be able to be slicker in there. You know, you just can't, like, blitz in with speed, especially against a technical boxer like Alexa Grasso. You know, she lives and breathes this. You know, she knows when somebody's going to blitz in, and she can read the shoulders. She can read the feints and know how fast you are. That's how Grasso is, right? So Araújo has a lot she's bringing to the table, but some of the things that she is lacking could definitely eat. Is what's even in this fight out, you know. I think that Araújo has the speed, the jab, the power, the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu. She's got a lot of good tools, right? But some of the things that kind of take away are her defense and her cardio and her lack of commitment to being more so economical. You know, sometimes she can use a lot of extra movement, and that extra movement is what leads to her wearing herself down, especially with her cardio being lacking. You know what I mean? Like, so some of those things like that where she just kind of loses her technique, it's kind of contributed from to it's coming from the lack of cardio, you know? So, you know, whenever somebody starts to lose their breath, you know, they start losing their mind in there. You know what I mean? They can't think straight. You know, technique goes out the door because they can't commit because they can't breathe, right? So in this fight, you know, you got to see, we have to see Araújo clean a lot of this stuff up. You know, she's got to be a finisher in there. You know, she's got to be, you know, somebody that can wrestle in there when it's time. You know, she's going to have to be able to out jab the jabber here with her speed. You know, she's going to have to do a lot of different things that she didn't do in her past fights, you know, because she's been in there with those veterans, but she's never really gone in there and finished any of them outside of Talita Bernardo. You know, she hadn't finished anybody at flyweight, right? Dropped Andrea Lee once, right? And then slammed her in a fight, but still couldn't finish her, you know? So we got to see her go in there and take this to the next level. She really has to take this to the next level because even off of the fights where she's beaten veterans, you know, bigger, stronger veterans and bigger full-fledged flyweights, none of those fights made me say, okay, she's ready for Valentina, right? Even though she's been in there with Chookagian, you know, she lost. She lost to Jessica Ai. She's beat Roxy. She's beat Montana. She's beat Andrea Lee, right? She's beat Alexis Davis, right? She's beat all of those fighters and she's fought high level fighters, but there's still something about her that you can say she's still not ready for Valentina, right? Like, she has a few things here and there that would make the fight look interesting, but it's still something that's lacking. Like, I can't say she can beat her, right? Or even give Valentina a tough fight. See, whenever Tyler Santos came around and she was going through those fighters, something about Tyler's style, I was like, Tyler's big. Tyler's strong. This girl here has some of the best grappling. She's got power in both hands. This fighter right here is going to give Valentina heck. Okay, she's going to give her hell. And lo and behold, that's what happened. You know, it was a good, tough fight, however you want to say, but Tyler had something about her. But see, even Viviana Rujo, with all of these good names in the mid-rankings and so on, you know, even though she's fought all these fighters and, you know, beat some and lost to a couple, still can't say that she gives Valentina trouble. Maybe if she goes here and does something big against Alexis Grasso, like beats Alexa Grasso in a five-round decision and still looks sharp, maybe. You know, if she looks sharp in five rounds and looks powerful and strong by the fifth round, maybe we can say that, but I'm still not sure, you know? So I just need to see a little bit more from her from this fight and maybe another one. Same goes with Grasso. You know, let's talk about Grasso in this situation. You know, Grasso, she's undefeated at 125. Looked good in her last fight, got a finish over JoJo, right? But let's be honest, you know, Macy Barber, Jinyu Kim, JoJo Calderwood. I picked Alexis Grasso to beat all of them. You know, I picked Alexis Grasso to beat all of them for girls. You know, I in no way thought she was going to lose to any of them. I picked JoJo now. You know, I wanted to see JoJo win, but deep down I knew Grasso at this point in her career had what it takes to go in there and finish JoJo. I, you know, love JoJo, but I knew that's what the situation, I knew how this, that the situation was going to play out. All right. I knew how it was going to play out. But with that being said, with me being able to just predict and stick to those picks and saying, oh, Alexis Grasso has that, that still tells me that there's still something more that we need to see in Grasso, even after this fight. I mean, we'll talk about this fight first. This fight here is going to answer some questions about Grasso being able to handle, you know, a full-fledged flyweight, you know, somebody that's big, somebody that's strong. Can she deal with the power? Can she deal with the bull rushes? Can she deal with the clinching? Can she avoid being picked up and slammed like Andrea Lee got slammed, you know? Can she avoid, you know, that shotgun jab and the switching of the southpaw stances, the body shots from Viviana Rujo? Like, can she deal with all of this movement early on in the fight? And even if it's not that much movement early on, can she deal with it down the stretch if Viviana conserves her energy? You know, can she deal with the power and can she deal with the physical strength? Because last time we seen her get handled against a big, strong fighter was against Tatiana Suarez in strawweight, you know? Like, has Grasso gotten strong enough to handle a bull like Viviana Rujo? And can she take the bull away? Can she tame her? You know, because sometimes, you know, Grasso, she can get a little bit timid in there. You know, she'll kind of sit back and admire her work a little bit. Like, she's not relentless. Like, she can throw volume combinations, but unlike Joanna, she'll kind of take her foot off the gas sometimes. You know, she'll land like a good 1-2 and maybe like a little leg kick here and there, but then she'll kind of go on the back foot, give her opponent a chance to regroup, you know? So if Grasso really wants to take the next level and even beat a fighter like Arujo, you know, she's got to be putting work out there. Caitlin Kagan can't hit hard, but that girl was putting work on Arujo, you know what I mean? Like, every time Arujo would step in her range, pop, 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 you know, Kagan just letting her hands go, push kick to the body, pop, pop, just jab to the face or just right hand, you know, just touching her up, always staying busy, you know? And that's what these full-fledged flyweights do to get their respect in there. You know, they outwork fighters. They disrespect them. And I haven't seen, like, Grasso disrespect in there enough, you know? Yeah, she finished JoJo, but, you know, she kind of let Macy Barber off the hook at times, you know? You can't let Arujo off the hook in this fight, right? So, stuff like that, you know, I just need to see Grasso go in there and, you know, be a finisher or at least go in there and dominate and shut everything down that Arujo has. Like, you be the fighter that goes in there and breaks somebody's will this time. You know, you go in there and break the will and not just try to outpoint them, you know, go in there and do something big, because if you want to go in there and step on, you know, the toes of these big girls in here, like the Santos and Murphys and Shevchenkos, as you step up, Chikagin possibly, you know, we got to see Grasso go in here and get something close to a finish, you know, maybe even 50-45, but it's going to have to be her knocking Araujo down a couple of times and really busting her up. And yeah, I'm going to that level. I'm giving her a hard time because I think she needs to do something. She needs to beat Araujo even more convincingly than Jessica Eye and Chikagin did. Because I honestly thought Araujo did enough to beat Chikagin. You know, I looked at that fight again and I thought she won the first two rounds, you know. But Chikagin definitely did have good moments to be able to take it. You know, that's what it came down to. Chikagin still had enough in her to take it, you know, because she knew what she was doing. You know, so Grasso's got to be able to do that. All right. So, yeah, I'm ready for this fight now. You know, I'm going to give you all my pick in a video. You know, I just wanted to kind of go into the questions here, because some people just, you know, they think this is going to be title shot. But to me, no, like, this is just answering questions like, who can take on a gatekeeper next? Like, who can look like trouble for Valentina after this fight? Can't really say, because, you know, Grasso hasn't really fought very high level in the flyweight division, and Araujo's never really, like, exploded and finished somebody in the flyweight division to make us say, like I said, she could give Valentina hell, right? I think whoever wins this fight still needs to fight, like, a Tyler or Lauren Murphy, you know, or even a Chikagin before they go for the big dog, you know what I mean? That's why I keep saying Chikagin versus Manon is the next one, because, you know, Manon's on a win streak. A four-fight win streak. If she beats Chikagin, she's on a five-fight win streak, right? And Chikagin's number one, so that sounds more like a title eliminator there. This one here, even though they are ranked higher than Manon at 5-6, their reputation is already out there on what they offer to the champion right now. That's the best way to put it. That's why we need questions answered in this fight. You know, tell us who's next. You know, tell us who can really step out of the box and maybe fight a Lauren Murphy or Tyler next, right? So, yeah, y'all let me know what you think. Is it just a question answer, or is it a title eliminator for y'all? I know I'm ready, though. What's today, Wednesday? 3 more days, I'm ready. I am ready. So, yeah, let me know what y'all think, though. And we'll jump to this next topic here. Let's jump up one weight class. Let's talk 135 just a little bit. I ain't gonna hold y'all up. Like I said, I want to be done in less than an hour. It's already been about 38 minutes. So 135. I was just looking at the UFC rankings again, which I think I talked about with y'all the other day. And after looking at the rankings and the new spots that are given, I can't help it, man. I just got to say it again, but 135 needs more than just new blood or makeover. This division needs a facelift, for real. And like I said, I ain't talking about, you know, old fighters in the division. I ain't talking about their faces. I ain't talking about age. I'm just talking about this thing needing a whole reconstruction. This division needs to be turned inside out now, because when I look at who they just put into the rankings, I have to question and say, do they really know what division they're dealing with right now? I mean, let me pull up the division, okay? All right, look. Let's start from the bottom up here. I think I already read this to y'all, but coming in at number 15, we got Jocelyn Nunes. How is Jocelyn Nunes a bantamweight? How is she ranked at bantamweight when her last couple fights were, well, her last fight was against Ramona Pascal at featherweight, and she fought Bea Malecki before that at bantamweight, but the girl was technically, the girl's a featherweight. She fought a featherweight at bantamweight, right? So with those two fights, how would that put her in a featherweight spot? A win over Ramona Pascal. Why not featherweight, right? So that's the first weird one. I mean, Jocelyn Nunez, she's probably cool with it because, you know, she's getting a ranking. She'll probably be able to move down to 135, though, because she's smaller than Ramona, and she's smaller than some of these other featherweights and bantamweights. So maybe she can make it because she's a short fighter, kind of wide, but she might be able to squeeze down to 135. We'll see. All right, so that one's questionable. Then you got, well, number 14, Mayra Buena-Silva. Okay, that's okay. Mayra Buena-Silva, she did beat Wu Yanan and Stephanie Edgar. And with the exit of Sarah McMahon and GDR, they needed to put in another fighter with a couple of wins, right? Okay. And also, Julie Avila's on maternal leave, even though she's still ranked. So you still need some new blood in. And I can argue for Mayra Buena-Silva because she did beat two bantamweights, and she is campaigning at bantamweight. So that's fine. But number 13. Number 13 moves up from 15 to off of featherweight fights. And that's Norma Dumont. How is Norma Dumont rated? How is she ranked number 13 at bantamweight after winning a couple of featherweight fights, right? Hasn't competed at bantamweight in maybe like a year or two. Because let's see. She beat Danielle Wolfe in her last fight. Featherweight. She had fought Macy Chason before that, right? Featherweight. And she beat Aspen Ladd in whatever order those last couple fights are at featherweight, right? Ashley Evans Smith was her last fight at 135, and that was like back in what, 2020? So how is Norma Dumont moving up the rankings off of three fights at featherweight? What kind of sense does that make? Really, what type of sense does that make, man? Like, You got her moving up the rankings. So she's going to be able to challenge Amanda Nunes for the bantamweight title off of featherweight fights. What kind of sense does that make? I'm just, come on, help me out here. I don't get that. That's the crazy one. That's why I'm saying this division needs a facelift, because they just have the weirdest blemishes on this throughout this rankings. It's just like all these little blemishes out here and these little scars that are just, you just can't, they just can't go unnoticed. It's like real scars that you just keep looking at. Like, wow, that looks bad. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff needs to be corrected. And then, of course, from there, you got Lena Landsberg, Avila, Tate, and so on. And the division looks like it usually does. You know, the same fighters. Patty Kansas moving up. Yana, Rocky, Irene, and Juliana Pena, and so on, right? A lot of the same names, older fighters that we, you know, some of them need to go, some need to retire, but some still have enough blood to stick around, right? But it's the bottom half here where I'm just kind of like, what's going on here? Like, why you got featherweights moving up the rankings in the bantamweight division when you can easily move these fighters to featherweight? That's why I'm saying, look, it's time for some new blood here, you know? It's time for that facelift. You know, that's why I'm glad you do have MBS in the division, because she will bring some excitement. Hopefully she improves as a fighter. You know, Irene Aldana, she is good for the division. She's a good look. Hopefully her next fight can be at 135 and not a catchweight fight. That's why I'd rather see her fight Juliana Pena for like a title eliminator first. Or if she gets the title shot, fine. Fine, because she is grinding. She's back after some inactivity. She's ready to fight. So, you know, give this girl a chance, because we need the wake-up call. And then, you know, you have a fighter like Juliana Pena, who we can argue that she doesn't really deserve a rubber match yet, but she's talking. She keeps the division interested. You know what I mean? Juliana Pena, she fights. She's gutsy. She's tough. You know, a little reckless, of course, but hey, this is the fight game, right? And this is what she likes to do. So I still like the fact that she's there. You know, I like these fighters. Irene Pena, Mayra Buena-Silva, I like them. Eileen Perez, I don't know if she's like a full-on featherweight yet, but I just put her here as a bantamweight because that's where she needs to be. When you look at her size-wise, she needs to cut it down to 135, and that's where she'd be competitive. And with all the delusional trash talk she posts on Twitter, you kind of need a fighter like her. And she's kind of solidified herself as the heel as she's linking up with Colby Covington, as you can see, right? Y'all seen that on Twitter, right? So she's kind of bringing in some energy as well to the division. I mean, first you got to get a win to really win us over as like this new type of heel. But you know, she's kind of bringing something to the table, because I like reading her tweets. Like I said, I might have to start doing a Eileen Perez tweet of the week or something, man, because that girl always be saying something crazy that got me laughing, right? And then with her posting the picture of Kobe Covington had me like, oh yeah, this girl's full on heel, you know. So she bringing some type of energy, you know. Chelsea Chandler want to get at her, you know. Hey, I'd be cool with that. But if she sticks around at 135, that's probably best for her, because I think that's where she'd be most competitive. But she'll help bring some life to the division in that manner. But one of the fighters they need to sign, you know, you already got Teresa Blader signed. Why not sign Tanisha Tennant? Tanisha Tennant, she can add a little bit more life here. She'll add some skill, some intellect, some IQ, much needed stuff. You know, if she comes in, her and Myra Buena Silva, that'd be a good fight. You know, her debut against Myra Buena Silva, Stephanie Edgar, or Wu Yanan, all good fights, you know, because this division right now, it needs a transition. It needs some new fighters in there to get the wheels turning again, get the fans looking again, and just get everybody in a position where they start feeling like so that they start feeling like they're competitive again, you know, like they're doing something, they're fighting for something again. Because, you know, bantamweight's kind of been like a ghost town, even though it has a full ranking. It's been kind of like a ghost town to people, you know. The casual fan hadn't really been tuned into it now. So just clean up the bottom half here. Like, get these featherweights out, sign some more bantamweights, put Eileen Perez in there, sign Tanisha Tennant, and, you know, let's call it a day, right? Let's just do it that way. Sign Serena De Jesus, you know, get her in there, get Lauren Mueller back in there, something. Get some legit girls up in here that can do something, man, you know, that can make it look like a 135-pound division. Because right now, like I said, with these little bumps down here, you like, well, what are y'all doing, you know? So with that being said, well, let me know in the comment section what y'all think, you know, if 135 needs a facelift, like I said, you know, because I think it does, you know, with these fighters at the bottom. But with that being said, going off what I said with these featherweights here, moving them on to featherweight, if 135 needs a facelift, 145 needs a whole new body. Scratch that. Needs quite a few new bodies, right? Featherweight needs quite a few new bodies up in there. And like I said before, if anybody from the UFC is listening, any matchmakers out there are listening, or Shannon Knapp is listening, that she can get the word over there since she deals with the women, understand that the featherweight division can be made and it should be made. You know, take the time out to go in there and get everybody together. You know, get everybody, all the matchmakers together that can just sit down and say, okay, look, we got all of these women here. You know, we got enough. It's enough of these big fighters. You know, we got a few here that are ranked in bantamweight that don't need to be. And we got enough women here that are having trouble making 135. They're killing themselves. Let's go ahead and make a featherweight division, right? How do we do that? Let's put some of these bodies in here that we got down here at 135, and let's move them up, right? There's just a few of the fighters here, you know. Fighters I forgot to put up here, you know, Chelsea Chandler, she needs to be in there. Mason Chason needs to be in there. Yana Kunitskaya could be in there. Kellen Berrier could be in there. Norma Dumont, Zara Dos Santos. All the way at the bottom, you could have Danielle Wolf ranking off at number 15 if you want. Jocelyn Nunes, Ramona Pascal. The names go on and on. You know, that's enough right there to make a top 10 or top 9. Like I said, Bellator has a top 7 right now. So why not? You know, don't be ashamed. Go ahead and make a top 8 or top 9 for a featherweight, right? This is 5 right here, plus Chelsea, plus Yana and Ketlin, plus Ramona Pascal. That's 9 right there, right? And anybody else from featherweight that wants to move up, you know, like Eileen Perez, if she wants to, you know, that's the top 10 right there. So you got enough bodies. You know, you got enough bodies in there to get the division rolling. You know, you had enough back in 2018, you know. So I'm just to the point where it's like you just got to do it because, you know, more of these ladies that kill themselves. And you had Aspen Ladd too, but now PFL got her. So that would have been 11. But, yeah, anyways, you know, the more and more you make these women kill themselves at 135, eventually somebody's not going to be able to make it anymore. And they'll just be gone. Literally, you know, kidneys shutting down or not being able to perform. And they'll just say, hey, cut my contract. I can't do this no more. Right. Event, you know, right now, a lot of the women ain't saying that now because they want the money. But when those rough weight cuts catch up to them, they're going to be like, oh, no, I got to go. You know, I got to go over to Bellator. I got to go to PFL. I got to go up to lightweight. I got to go up to a featherweight division, you know. So take the chance now and do it. I'm going to be brief with it. Just take the chance now and do it because, you know, you're going to make a lot of these women waste away. You know, right now you got Amanda Nunes as the champion, but what is she the champion of? She just got a barren belt that she can't even defend, you know. So my thing is, like, why not just put a whole new body together here while you can? The casual fans will like it because you'll have more finishes. You know, you got a lot of fighters that go in there and throw hands. And, you know, eventually with these sizable women, you have fighters that like to, you know, go in there and knock fighters out. You know, Chelsea came in and scored a big TKO finish for her fight. You know, when Macy Chason was thriving, she was finishing fighters at 145. You had fighters like Megan Anderson, they were finishing them. You know, Norma Dumont, she likes to throw hands. Jocelyn Nunez likes to finish fighters. Amanda Nunez at 145 got bricks on bricks, you know. So why not get this division going that's just going to bring highlights, you know. So at this point, they know what to do. They know what to do because there's no reason for this division to be like some type of exclusive division where it only happens every once in a while if somebody can't make weight. Just make it, right? Just make it, because it makes the bantamweight rankings look bad right now too as well, you know. So yeah, that's all I got on that one. I just wanted to get that off my chest again. But let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Just want to drop this reminder here because this Saturday is going down. You know, a lot of fights. And this one here is one I'm ready for. Clarissa Shields versus Savannah Marshall. And on the undercard, or the co-main event, Michaela Mayer versus Alicia Baumgartner. Definitely looking forward to that fight. But Shields Marshall, this is a long time coming now. These two here can't stand each other. They have a big history. They both are undefeated. They're both seen as the best in their weight class, middleweight. And they both bring excitement to boxing. And I'm not going to lie, like, out of all the boxing going on this weekend between Haney Kambosos, Caleb Plant Durrell, Deontay Wilder versus Hyalaneous, this is the fight I'm really looking forward to. It really is. You know, I'm looking forward to this one. Like I said, this fight, Taylor Serrano, Spence Crawford, Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia are just some of the big fights in boxing. And this is really the only one that came together because the two fighters could settle on it and say they wanted it. They want undisputed, and that's what we're getting, right? So shout out to both of them here. You know, I'm just ready for a good fight with this one. You know, I think Clarissa, you know, she's very confident and she's prepared for everything. You know, she's got a high IQ. That's what some people don't understand. Like, Clarissa, she's very smart when it comes to boxing. Like, not just fighting, but watching it. She studies it. She lives it. She breathes it. T-Rex is very smart, you know. So I think her technique and her skill set are going to be her main keys to victory. Like, she don't need to worry about trying to catch Marshall or trying to go for something big like a knockout. She just needs to be a smart, strong, consistent fighter in this one. You know, because that's what she is. Savannah Marshall, this girl is very awkward. Tall, long, You don't see a lot of women boxers with this frame, with power in both hands. A bit slow, but it's still something that Clarissa's never seen before. It's a style that Clarissa's never seen before, so that's going to be dangerous, you know. We seen Clarissa down once against, I think it's Hannah Gabriels, like a while back, but it wasn't even like a hard knockout or hard knockdown, a flash knockdown mostly. We never seen Clarissa down like that before, so we don't know how she would react to the power of Savannah Marshall. Savannah Marshall, she has to be prepared for a slick Clarissa as well, because, you know, she's used to girls being on the end of her fists with just a few swings, a few dumps, and getting them out of there. But Clarissa, I believe she's too durable, and she's ready for whatever she's bringing, you know. So Savannah's got to be ready. You know, she's got to use that herky-jerky length to the best of her ability. Keep Clarissa on the end of her shots, because that's where her power is. She can't be smothered, you know. She's going to have to do what she does and, you know, keep this thing at an awkward range and jab and move and use the 1-2 and throw with her power, because I think Clarissa, when it comes down to the boxing skills, she's going to be the one picking the better shots and throwing the better combinations, you know. So with that being said, real quick, I'll give you my pick on this. So I'm going to go with Clarissa because I already talked about it before. I think Clarissa has the ability to fight 10 rounds here against a puncher like Savannah. I think she has the strength and the skills to smother and take away the power. Don't be surprised now if she lands something big, though, you know, Savannah Marshall, because, you know, she's a good boxer now. You know, she's a good boxer too, you know. So don't be surprised, because neither fighters have fought somebody on this level before with this good of style against each other. You know what I mean? Like Savannah, this is the best Clarissa's fought, and this is the best Savannah's fought. That's the best way to say it. But I think when it comes down to it, skill, durability, confidence, Clarissa has all that to win herself a decision, you know. But I won't be surprised if something crazy did happen, you know, Savannah landed something big and made the fight go her way and got a little bit of respect, because she can hit hard, but you can't hit what you can't see. And if Clarissa is on her defense, she might be blind to Savannah in there, right? So, yeah, I got Clarissa by decision. Who do y'all got? All I want is a good fight, you know. I think we're going to get that, though, because these two really want it. And, yeah, that's what it is. So, yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Final thoughts. Next generation of strawweights. I think that, you know, eventually, you know, these girls in the strawweight division that are unranked, you'll start seeing them develop. They will evolve, and they'll start putting themselves on the map. Like, eventually somebody in there like Yasmin, you're going to say, oh, wow, this girl's a killer. She's a force. You're going to say, wow, like Sam Hughes, she improved along the way. Like, yeah, she's really getting better as a fighter. You know, it's just like that. You got to remember, like, back in the days, like I said, those girls, they had to evolve. You know, Tisha's and Rose's, they had to evolve, right? Arujo Grasso, I'll give y'all my pick tomorrow. I won't say I promise, but I'll give it to y'all. I'll give y'all my pick. The fight is 50-50, man. I'm really having a tough time with this. And I just want to see a good fight. And I want to see some questions answered. Like I said, I don't think whoever wins is going to get a title shot. They're going to really have to do something big, I think. They're really going to have to do something crazy to make Dana say, that girl fights Valentina next. Or Rujo fights Valentina next. Grasso fights Valentina next, right? That's what's going to have to happen. All right. And bantamweight needs the facelift. Let's get some new blood signed in there. Take them featherweights out and put them featherweights in their own featherweight division. That's what it needs to be. Shields by decision over Marshall. That's what I got. Let me know what y'all got. Make sure y'all subscribe to the show. Hashtag CB99 Talks, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Tuned In. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where you can catch the show as well. Shout out to my new subscribers and everybody from day one. And keep on hitting that like button. Always hit that like button on the show, because that's what makes the show go more so visible, right? That's the only way, you know, it can be seen. If you hit the like and you share it and you subscribe and you comment, like always, I appreciate y'all's comments, you know, wherever they may be, even when you're talking crazy. So, you know, keep on coming through. Keep coming through, and I'll keep doing the show, guys. Like always, Combo Breaker 99. I'll catch y'all later this week, and definitely going to be with y'all fight night. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.